In a way, it seemed to me only natural that at present, Satipatthana tends to be taught based on selecting one or perhaps two, but not by covering all four. Yet, the four right efforts, for example, corresponding to factor six of the Noble Eightfold Path, clearly build on and complement each other. The same holds for the four absorptions, listed regularly in the descriptions of wise concentration as factor eight of the same path, or a better rendering, wise unification. I was unable to envisage how the four Satipatthanas, as factor seven of this path, could be similarly practiced as building on and complementing each other. Could there be a way of bringing all four Satipatthanas together into a unified, continuous mode of practice? Would it not be possible to develop a seamless continuity with each Satipatthana building on the next, complementing one another? Is there at the same time a simple mode of practice that can be carried into any situation? Such questions were very much on my mind. The solution came to me through a detailed study of the Chinese parallels. This is the topic of the second book, Perspectives on Satipatthana. Placing the Satipatthana Sutta side by side with its two Chinese parallels enabled me to discover the common ground between them and the differences. Although the next chapters will be based on the Pali version, the comparative perspective gained from studying the Chinese parallels informs the approach. Since the present book is predominantly meant as a guide for meditation practice, all the variations in the parallels will not be mentioned. The relevant information in this respect can be found in other publications, to which will be referred. Perhaps at this point it might also be good to mention that the undertaking of such comparison with parallel versions does not mean that what is found in all versions should just be rejected. It is more like positioning different pieces before our eyes, placing them either towards the front or more towards the back. In other words, those exercises that are common to the parallel versions can be in the foreground and allowed to become more prominent as expressions of a particular Satipatthana. Other exercises not found in all versions simply stand somewhat more in the background. Contemplation of the body. Based on its positioning, three exercises emerge as the common ground. Basic thrust of contemplation of the body also emerges from a discourse in the Satipatthana Samyutta, which recommends that Satipatthana should be taught to beginners who have just ordained. In the case of the first Satipatthana, beginners should practice in such a way that they understand the body as it really is, yatha bhuta. Those more advanced in the training continue the same practice for the sake of a penetrative understanding, parinya, of the body. Fully awakened ones still cultivate contemplation of the body. They do so being free from any attachment to it. Needless to say, the continuous relevance of contemplation from the beginner's cultivation all the way up to the arhant's freedom of attachment applies similarly to the other three Satipatthanas. In the case of the body, then, from a practical perspective, the task is indeed to understand it as it really is. Such understanding becomes increasingly more penetrative in such a way that it results in gradually eroding all attachments to the body. This is not to say that using the body to cultivate mindfulness has no importance. On the contrary, this is an essential dimension of practice. In fact, exercises like mindfulness of the four postures and clearly knowing bodily activities have remarkable potential. Much of what was said in the previous chapter is precisely about such potential. But in order to cultivate Satipatthana in such a way that it becomes the direct path to liberation, the type of insight that can be developed with these three contemplations of the body offers a major contribution. Contemplation of Dhammas. The situation with contemplation of Dhammas also shows substantial differences. With contemplation of feelings in the mind, the parallels are fairly close to each other. Strictly speaking, what remains as the common core of this contemplation. In the Satipatthana Sutta and its two Chinese discourse parallels, is the cultivation of the awakening factors. This is added also to the contemplation of the hindrances, as this is found in two versions and at least referred to in the third. In fact, cultivation of the awakening factors, requires having first of all recognized and then overcome the hindrances, at any rate their gross manifestations. The impression that emerges from foregrounding the awakening factors, together with the hindrances, is that contemplation of dhammas is about monitoring the mental qualities that obstruct and those that lead forward on the path to liberation. In other words, contemplation of dhammas is about the type of mind in which awakening can or cannot take place. This perspective helped me to build a bridge to contemplation of dhammas in the Anapanasati Sutta, where the task is to cultivate perspectives alongside awareness of the changing nature of the breath. These insight perspectives are to contemplate impermanence, dispassion, cessation, and letting go. Cultivation of the awakening factors in such a way that they will fulfill their awakening potential similarly requires proceeding through the themes of dispassion and cessation, culminating in letting go. In this way, reading side by side the sections on contemplation of dhammas in the Satipatthana Sutta and the Anapanasati Sutta points to those mental qualities and insight topics that are particularly helpful for the realization of Nibbana. Contemplations. Body, Vedana, feeling tone, mind, hindrances, awakening factors. Perspective afforded in this way by comparative study has a precedent in the Theravada Abhidhamma. The Vibhanga, in fact, presents an even shorter version of Satipatthana. This includes only the anatomical parts for contemplation of the body and just the hindrances and the awakening factors for contemplation of dhammas. I'll stress again that leaving out some of the exercises mentioned and instead focusing on those that are common to all versions does not imply any form of devaluation. The purpose is simply to allow a focus on what seems most essential. In fact, the mode of practice presented also covers central aspects and themes of the exercises that are not explicitly included. Incorporating the awareness of the process of breathing as a reminder of mortality, and also anicca, inconstancy. Directed mindfulness of the breath is still part of the contemplation of the body in the form presented